This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites on Monday, the 12th of October, 2020. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me virtually are Audrey Raj and Frida Liu. So, hello.
Hello.
We've been having a very interesting chat today about if you have been saving or hoarding your annual leave in 2020 and why. So let's look at the numbers on Instagram and maybe some responses from Audrey.
Yeah, so over on Instagram, we have still 68% of our of the responses saying that they have been hoarding their leave. So, you know, almost 70% of those who have responded via Instagram are hoarding their leave in 2020. We've got more messages. We've got Stephen who says, so that I can carry forward to next year, use it for CNY and also travel more when borders reopen. Mm-hmm. Stephen also says no Tuti Tuti Malaysia in 2020. So I guess he's holding on. This Stephen is holding on to leave. We've got Janie who says because we're not allowed to bring forward to 2021 in the event that we are unable to utilize in 2020. So I'm pretty sure Janie is trying to use up her leave. Mm-hmm. We've got Elaine who says keeping them for year end. Nayan says yes, I've been holding my leave to reserve leave for job interviews.
Oh,
yeah. Ooh. And then we've got Trish who says, you know, working from home, so there's no reason to take leave because I can't go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. That's so sad. We've got a response here on WhatsApp. Ro, one of our regulars. Ro says, leave? What's that? Haven't taken a holiday in a decade and now unlikely to, but it's cool. Still can have leaf. Banana leaf rice.
Oh.
Thanks, Ro, for that. On Twitter as well, we've got KF who says, easier to resign. Ouch. And Adam Rahimov who says, easier to make the last working date earlier as well. Oof. And we have Ramli Sirap who says, sounds like Frida's Wi-Fi connection is trying to take leave from her too.
Ooh.
I mean... Yeah, what can we even say to that, right? So, of course, that is our question. You have maybe about 8 minutes more to respond to that. So, you know, get those responses in if you do feel like talking to us about that at Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Now, someone who has taken a break today but still contributed, you know, to today's show is Richard Bradbury, of course. And he had a story about how audio is not dead yet. So you know what? I'm just going to let Rich take it from here.
So I found this really interesting story about the sound of tomorrow and how Google and Amazon are kind of battling for access to yours and my voice. And ever since the dot-com bubble in the early part of the century, tech companies clearly understood that the only way for new technology to prosper is for it to have a clear roadmap to monetization. And even a decade ago, no matter how many users huge companies like Amazon or Facebook had, the question on everyone's minds was how they were going to turn user numbers into profit. Big tech companies did a fantastic job over the past few years when it comes to monetizing their products. But any successful organization that wants to stay on top for as long as possible needs to carefully plan their future steps. And as counterintuitive as it might sound in this high-def resolution world, the future may heavily depend on audio content. And the first major steps in that direction resulted in devices like the Amazon Alexa and Google Home finding their way into our cars and into our homes. And despite the tech giants' dream of convincing us to shop more online through these devices, they had limited capabilities, and they made people mainly use them to either play music or provide basic information, stuff like traffic and weather. Although not as successful as planned, they did open the door for a bunch of new functionalities that may become mainstream in the near future. And some of these I want to have a quick look at right now. The first one is time-delayed Q&A. So, as we know, customer service is a major issue for virtually all companies with large customer bases, an issue they try to tackle in various ways. The internet is a haven for text-based communication, so most businesses try to handle customer complaints and requests and feedback through chat and email. automating as many processes as possible and hiring customer service representatives for more complex issues. But communicating via text is still unnatural for a lot of people, with people usually preferring to hear an answer from an actual human being. I know I do. Today, this is mainly done through call centers, but having enough employees and phone lines to communicate with thousands of customers and more each day in real time is a huge cost on companies. There might be another way, though. A middle ground between replying to customers by email and by phone is creating a system where they simply record and send an audio message on the company's website, with a customer service representative listening to it and sending an audio response to the customer within a few hours. Over time, large amounts of data on customer feedback can be gathered, and those with the same issues and complaints will receive the same pre-recorded audio message, enabling the organization to provide valuable feedback with minimal effort. This way, call centers won't have to sustain the huge burden of answering every query in real time, and we as customers will have a clear audio explanation that can listen to and reply to. More importantly, as opposed to email, they will actually hear other human beings communicating with them, and that's a huge deal. Next up, this idea of interactive podcasts. And this is something that sounds really, really interesting, especially for people like us who are broadcasters. So, although podcasts have been around for more than 15 years and constantly grow in popularity over time, it's only up until recently that their worth to companies and advertisers was still pretty vague. This all changed, though, recently. Of course, if you know podcasts and you've heard of Joe Rogan, he signed an exclusive deal with Spotify for his hugely popular podcast, reportedly worth $100 million. This was the first time a podcast got such a hefty price tag, and more will probably follow. Thing is, there's still room for improvement, mainly because audience interaction for podcasts nowadays is little to none. Even old-time radio shows had people phoning in. So it's somewhat surprising that in the age of high-speed internet and everyone having a device with a microphone right in their pocket, podcasts are still sealed off from their audience. New and existing audio technology can quickly change that and have listeners react to certain events and discussions, even having proper conversations with the podcast hosts. Audio from listeners doesn't even need to be in real time, with podcasters launching various ideas and picking out the most interesting audience replies to play the next day. If there's one thing the internet has shown us over the last 20 years, is that audience interaction leads to monetization. From Facebook comments to Amazon reviews, having people react and interact to your content and with each other drives interest, it drives traffic, and ultimately, that brings profit. Many of these signs are pointing towards audio as being the next way to generate and monetize content, with customer service and interactive podcasts being only the tip of the iceberg.
Thank you very much, Rich, for that story about how audio is not dead yet. I find that so interesting about the interactive podcasts and getting that sort of like delayed feedback. I've started listening to a few more podcasts in my spare time. And I have noticed that, you know, they'll say, hey, send us like, you know, emails or review this. And then in the review, ask us a question, that sort of thing. And then we'll get to it in the next episode. So I think it is definitely interesting that, you know, the medium of audio is moving into that interactive space as well.
And also dragging the whole engagement process over multiple episodes as well, you know, and, you know, kind of always having that feedback coming in, because sometimes it can get lonely when you're alone in the studio like Christine is today, you know, but you know, to have that feedback coming in, you know, it just makes for a livelier, richer experience, also not only for us, but I guess for everyone listening as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting.
Right. Like Richard doing the monologue.
Yes. That's a sort of interactive podcast in a way, right? Like he prepared the story, now we're commenting on it. But that is pretty much about all the time we have for BizBytes today, which is, you know, which is, I will also say that I'm quite sad that this is the closest that the team has been to being all together in some way, shape or form
For a while now, right?
Yeah, for the past 6 months. We have been asking, of course, if you have been saving or hoarding your annual leave in 2020 and why. We'll just do the final poll results and any other wrapping up stuff. So on Twitter, we've got yes at 35.1%, no at 30.7%, I was till recently at 16.3%, and I always do this at 17.8%. Audrey, what any update on the Instagram poll?
Yeah, so on Instagram, it's crept closer to 70%. It's 69% to yes, they've been hoarding their leave, to 31% who say no. And we've got one final message to read, and this is from Keju Lab, who says, because it's been too difficult to take leave at work with all the improvement and changes happening in the workplace. That's positive, though. At least you know there's some improvements happening in the workplace.
For sure. And of course, that was Audrey's story about how it's time for a break. Really, followed by Frida's story about how disruption gives you momentum for change. Don't waste it.
Yes.
And of course, we heard from Richard Bradbury about how audio is not dead yet. Of course, if you've missed any of today's show, you can listen to us on the BFM app, on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can also head over to bfm.my/podcasts to listen back to BFM and to Enterprise BizBytes. But coming up after the 1 o'clock news on the Breakfast Grill replay, China is widely known for its checkbook diplomacy, where its economic strength is deployed in large infrastructure projects around the world, often resulting in the imprisonment of the target country. They were exploring the state-to-state relationship between China and Malaysia, as well as its increasing FDI into Malaysia, with Professor Edmund Terence Gomez and Dr. Cheong Ki-chuk, authors of the book China in Malaysia, State-to-Business Relations and the New Order of Investment Flows, a book exploring the unique economic relationship between Malaysia and China. I've been Christine Wong, joined virtually by Audrey and Frida, and this is Community of Hope by PJ Harvey on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.